Yesterday, Democrats unveiled the full version of the health care bill that they hope to pass as soon as Sunday. We also got the Congressional Budget Office to weigh in as well. And President Obama has postponed for a second time his trip to Indonesia and Australia so he could participate in the final hours of the health care debate in Washington, at least for the House. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi thinks that's a good thing.
I'm delighted that he's going to be here. It's an historic debate. It's a historic vote. And I know he wants to be here.
Did you ask him to do that, ma'am?
No.
Pelosi is actually talking to our man on the Hill there, Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick. Besides chasing down the Speaker of the House yesterday, Todd actually read the health care bill, right, Todd?
Yes, indeed.
You're a better man than I, Todd. I read the boiling down of the health care bill because it's very long. But you discovered as you were reading it five new changes in this version of the bill that maybe could change people's mind about the health care reform push, maybe for it or against it. And it all comes down to money, right?
Yeah, it really does. Five changes, you know, that really affect people's pocketbooks. Now, it's complicated, so I want to just choose a family of four that makes $44,000. If you're a family like that, what this bill does is say that the premiums that you pay on your health care can't be any more than about $2,800 in a year. That's the limit. Now, that's less than what was in the Senate bill. It used to be around $3,000. So they've lowered that. You can't pay more than $2,700. They're also going to give you subsidies if you're this family that makes $44,000 a year, a family of four. The government also gives you subsidies to cover a percentage of your coverage. And those subsidies now will pay for 87% of all your benefits. Before, it was just 80%. So more subsidies to pay for more coverage. Medicare, if you have Medicare, you're 65 or older, or grandma or grandpa have Medicare, you know, right now, Celeste, you know about the Medicare donut hole.
Right.
The gap, which comes around, you know, once you've spent $2,800 on your drug coverage, Medicare doesn't cover you anymore at all until you reach $4,500. Well, if you're one of the people who gets to the gap, they're going to send you a check for $250 right away next year. You just get a check. And then after that, there's drug discounts that phase in starting at a 50% discount. And by 2020, that discount is 75%. That basically closes the Medicare donut hole completely by 2020.
Okay, we're talking about closing the gap, or at least mostly closing this Medicare donut hole that has bothered people for a very long time. You're also talking about some tax credits and sort of cost-sharing help for people who are in the middle-class bracket. But one thing we've been talking about here a lot is this proposal that was in there that specifically targets student loan programs and helps out college students. Did that end up in the final bill?
That's in there for now. It should stay in there once the Senate acts on reconciliation eventually. They're spending around $70 billion to increase Pell Grants and student loans. The Pell Grants now for people to afford college tuition are around $5,200 a year. This would increase them every single year by inflation plus a little bit to increase the level of those level of that tuition assistance every single year. You get more money to go to college.
Okay, that's a lot of dollar amounts, and they all are on the positive side. But somebody's got to lose out in this bill.
Indeed. If you are a person who makes $200,000 a year or more, or $250,000 for a family, they're raising your taxes. There's a 2.9% tax, a Medicare tax on your earned income. And then additionally, they're putting a 3.8% tax on unearned income. That's capital gains, that's dividends, that's money you make on stocks. If you're a wealthier person, there's a tax increase in here. No doubt about it.
Okay. So obviously there's, at this point, with President Obama meeting with people who are on the fence, with Democrats slowly trickling into the yes column from the no or the maybe column, what kind of deals are being made behind closed doors that we should be worried about?
Well, they're all over the place, and you can call them deals. You know, people have concerns that they want, you know, there's you call it horse trading, but there is whipping and head counting going on all over the place, and the interests are all over the place. Listen to Barron Hill. He represents a district in southern Indiana that makes medical devices, and he's on the fence. He hasn't decided, and he's not happy about some of the provisions in this bill on medical devices. Listen to this.
Eyeglasses, ear aids, bedpans, those kinds of things got exempted. You know, I'm making the case that since these companies in my district make life-saving devices, that they ought to be given a little help here.
And you You also talked with, this was very interesting, you spoke with Luis Gutierrez,
yeah,
who's changed his vote to yes, and I was really interested to find out why he did that.
Right. Luis Gutierrez voted yes the first time, but then he said he might not be yes this time because he didn't like the way this bill treated comprehensive immigration reform. You know how you said in headlines a couple of seconds ago that the White House is now pushing immigration reform?
Right.
It's no coincidence. Listen to Luis Gutierrez.
Maybe the first time I've actually had a conversation with the president alone was today at the rope line when we went for the swearing in, and he got to reaffirm that he was going to work hard on immigration reform.
So that sounds like he's putting his column, his vote firmly in the yes column because of this commitment to work on immigration.
And he said exactly that. He wanted a commitment for comprehensive reform. And how about that announcement from the White House the day Luis Gutierrez said he would vote yes? You think that's a coincidence? I don't think so.
So Todd Zwillick, in the last question for you, if you're going to grade this as a piece of effective legislation based on your experience, what grade would you give it?
Effective? Well, they say it's going to lower the deficit by $1.2 trillion in the next 20 years. That's a good thing. There's a big debate about whether this will lower health care spending, the actual amount we spend on health services.
A, B, C, D?
Yep. Celeste,
you
pass.
Won't say. Todd's pass. Pass. Takeaway Washington pass correspondent.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.